All right, Revelation 20 and verse 9, I'm just going to reread that verse. It says, "And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." Now, just to let you know where we're at, I like to go over this chart a good bit, because if you ever get this, it helps you visualize the Bible in your mind a good bit. So what's going to happen is, we're going to be raptured out of here one of these days, and it's getting sooner and sooner with each and every passing day. And then you're going to have 7 years of tribulation, and that tribulation predominantly has to do with the Jews and the nation Israel. And let me hand her to you, Shallow, because I have to concentrate here. Here you go. Uh-oh. She failed. Hold on just a second. There we go, sweetie. All right. So you have 7 years, and then the Lord returns at the end of that 7 year tribulation period, and he just, like we read in Revelation 19, he comes and he destroys all the enemies there at the Battle of Armageddon. All right, so you got that, and then he's going to set up a 1,000-year millennial reign, and we read about that. We're set 1,000 years 6 times. All right, so at the end of that 1,000-year millennial reign, the devil comes up and surrounds the Lord, like we've been reading about, and then he destroys the devil and all his followers all at one time, and then he's going to have the great white throne judgment, and the new heaven and the new earth are going to be made. So I'm just reminding y'all of that before we get to reading these things. So that's what you're reading about in verse number 9, and then it's going to devour them. In verse 10 it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone." You may end up having to take her in there, baby. It says, "Lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Now, the devil's going to be cast in that lake, and you notice that the beast and the false prophet are already there. There's no need for them to have judgment. They're guilty. They're already there. So he just gets thrown in there, and they're going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, you remember, the Bible said, Jesus said himself, hell was created for the devil and his angels. They're going to be tormented, and those other people who are there with them are going to be tormented. So you get this teaching now. There's a lot of false teachings on YouTube, but it's becoming more and more popular where people are teaching universal salvation, and they're teaching that hell is not real, and they're not going to be tormented. Y'all, the Bible is just, you just read it at face value. It says tormented day and night forever and ever. That's, and I tell you something, man, y'all little verses like that, you think, well, man, somebody could read that. You better have that marked in your Bible, because if you're trying to testify the grace of God, there are people, they say, well, so-and-so says, and I was watching this thing on YouTube, and this guy says that, you know, and I don't care what that guy says, this is what the Bible says. So this is why we preach. We don't want anybody to go there. He says in verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Now let me show you something where it says him that sat on it. This is something you know, but you need to have the cross reference. Look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And you're going to see who this is, but you need to have that cross reference. John chapter 5 and verse number 22. It says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." So you know what you're finding out right there? Come on in, good to see you. We're in Revelation 20. What I'm trying to show you, and look, while you're in John 5, I read that. Look at John 5, verse 26. John 5, verse 26. It says, "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man." So here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's sitting on this great white throne. And people are going to be, y'all, I'm telling you, when you ever just sit around and think, a lot of times we read this Bible and we don't think about what's going on. Here's people throughout all these ages, and they've rejected God's Word. He's the Word of God. All down through that, they had a message they were supposed to receive, and they rejected that. And they get up there, and there is the Lord. You imagine all these people who so-called atheists get up there, and they get up there at that great white throne, and heaven and earth is gone. There's nowhere to hide. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and according to that, right, they said He's the one that's judging. And they stand up there in their own righteousness. When I think about that right there, I'm telling you something. I'm glad to be saved.
That's right, brother.
I'm glad. Look, there's a lot of things that I concern myself with, and I've told y'all before, I worry about stuff I should not worry about. But one thing I do not have to worry about is standing there at that great white throne. You know why? Because I've trusted the gospel of the grace of God, and my sins are forgiven, every single one of them. Because look, they were all in the future whenever He died on the cross. And look, that's the Bible teaches you, the Apostle Paul tells you about all these words, imputation, justification, sanctification, all these things. When the Lord looked, when God the Father looks down on someone who's trusted the gospel of the grace of God, His death was your death, His burial was your burial, and His resurrection is your resurrection. I'm dead and my life is hid with Christ in God. Those verses right there, Colossians 3:3, I believe that is, you've got to know these things, because we're preaching that people might be, all men might be saved, come to the knowledge of the truth. And having little things like, when I read that verse right there, it's easy to pass over that thing, but that should make you want to get the gospel out and support things that get the gospel out. Because I don't want my worst enemy to have to go there. It's awful. Alright, so it says this. So heaven and earth is going to pass away, because He's going to make a new heaven and new earth. And there was found no place for them. Verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great." Look, it don't matter who it is. I'm going back. We're living in society now. People think they're better and so on. This one makes this much money. This one's got this position. This one's over all this stuff. It don't matter who you are. It's going to be small and great.
That's right.
And look, I like the old analogy. I know some of these things are kind of silly, but back in Genesis, the big old giraffe had to go in the same door that the squirrel did. Look, when He says He would have all men be saved, there's only one way to be saved right now in the dispensation and grace of God, is by trusting the gospel. And you know what? And no matter who's there, everybody's got to be there by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the main thing. If you don't get there by the blood, it don't matter who they are, where they are, small or great. It says, "Stand before God," and watch this. "The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Now, while you're turning, let's turn to John 12. We're going to look at several of these things about these books. I like to contrast things, because one of your biggest contrasts, if not the biggest right now, is the difference between the prophecy program, which is for Israel, and the dispensation of the grace of God, or the mystery program. They're going to be judged out of those books by their works. The Bible teaches you in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 that we're judged, and your works have to do with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. But your sins are not going to be judged. They were already judged on Calvary, and He took your place and all those things. But I'm just saying, these people, this is a different judgment than what you have. You're going to the judgment seat of Christ. That's a different thing than the great white throne judgment. And if they're going to be judged by their works, well, hold on just a minute now. Why would they be judged by the work if they're already lost and going to hell, depending on the degree of punishment?
Right.
Man, that's awful. So you get, it's a lot more to this thing than you think. But now these books, look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12, we'll look at some things about these books. And I'll show you a blessing on that. John 12 verse number 48 said, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. Look at that. Hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Hold on, I thought all judgment was given to the Son. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is going to be on that throne judging by the Word and what they did with His Word. That's amazing. All right, let me give you another verse. Psalm 119, verse number 89. These are just a couple things maybe you haven't seen or put together, rather, but old verses, but good familiar verses. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, get right here. It says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." Now I like that. I like that verse a lot because it's settled in heaven. It may not be settled in the colleges and the seminaries today, but it's settled in heaven. God knows where His word is. Let me tell you something else about His word. While you're in Psalms, look at Psalms 12. Psalms 12. We do not beat people up about the King James Bible. I'm not a part of that. I've heard some people say some pretty stupid things. As far as I've heard people say, you can't get saved unless you've got a King James Bible. That's too far. But look, people get saved by reading gospel tracts and it's only got a few, verses on it and stuff. That's the Word of God. But I'm telling you, the Word of God is preserved in your King James Bible for the English people. That's where the Word of God is. But we're not these type of people. I've looked, there's been people that's been in meetings before, and somebody else be in the meeting that had a new King James or NIV, they didn't know any better, and they talked down to them, and some of them's been run out. That's going too far. We're not that kind of people. We just know where the Word of God is and want to help people with it, but you'd never take that Bible and bash people with it. So Psalms 12, 6 and 7 says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word," that's the other verse. It says, I got that verse memorized, but I got two other verses in my mind. Psalm 12, 6 and 7 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of gold, a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." That's the preservation of God's Word. He made a promise He would preserve His Word. Now that King James Bible is the Word of God preserved in the English language. Now, some people say, "Well, how do you know which Bible it is?" Well, I can tell you this. For one thing, I'm not going to go into this just real deep because I know y'all believe like we do. But new versions like the NIV and stuff leave out thousands of verses. I want the Word of God. I want where the Word of God is. It's the King James Bible. But I'm just going back to this too. There was a word preserved for those people that had it before the King James was here, and those people are going to be reckoned with what they had at that time. Just like today, you got people and they got access to the Word of God, and they're going to have to answer according to what they did with the Word of God. Because we've got it. And I tell you something, America has got more Bibles than any other place, I guess, than any other country out there. And there's going to be a lot of people who had access to more light. And when you study things about the judgment, I don't know if we have time to get into it today, the more light that they had available to them, the harsher judgment that they're going to have. The Bible talks about every idle word is going to come up. All these things, everything they said, y'all, that judgment right there, people who don't get saved, you better get saved. And that's the best thing. Get saved now. Why? Because if they go to that great white throne judgment, there are things they're going to be judged for. Everything, every secret, the Bible says every secret thing is going to be made out, come out and open in front of everybody. You know what? I go back to this right here. I don't want nobody knowing what I've said in the past 24 hours. Why? We're humans. This flesh body sin, and we say dumb stuff. I've said things before, and I've got my vehicle and said, "What in the world did I just say anyway?" But you know what? I won't have to worry about that. Why? I'm dead, and my life is here with Christ and God. Now, I'll show you about that here in a little bit. So you got the Word of God, and people are going to be judged by the Word of God, and it's preserved for us today. We have it, and thank God we have it. Let me give you another another thing about that. Let me see. If you will, take your Bible and look at Matthew 11. Matthew 11. And I'm just glad I got salvation. I'm going to tell you something. Some of these people say, all you talk about is glad to be saved. I'm glad to be saved. The more I read this Bible, it makes me appreciate my salvation, appreciate where I'm at right now. I can tell you something. As fun as some of that stuff sounds in the Bible about what they did in the Old Testament and some of these things they encountered and stuff, I wouldn't trade what I have today to go back and do all this stuff for nothing in this world, man. I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God and no strings attached. And you got to know that because, look, I couldn't do enough works to save myself and neither could you. And if you couldn't do enough works to save yourself, you can't do enough bad works to lose your salvation. Why? It's not yours in the beginning. Because salvation is the Lord's. It's His salvation. Now, when I say things like that, I know y'all don't take me wrong. But some people take it like you're saying, well, just go out and do whatever you want to. The Bible says that you want to live godly and you should live godly and stuff like that. But the fact remains that we don't live up to what all Paul said. Rejoicing in all things. Being giving thanks in all things. Okay, if you have a flat tire, you can rejoice in the Lord knowing that everything that's happening is happening for a reason. And I know I can give God praise in all things. Now, do I always do it? No, but it's a command to. You are supposed to give thanks in all things. That's a command. Now, I don't always do it. Look at Matthew 11. Look at verse number 20. The Bible says, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell, for the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom. It would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. These people that don't repent and stuff like that. And you see what he's saying is there's different levels because they had more light. The other ones had, they had that much light. The Lord knew, hey, they would have repented had they had the light that you had. So the Lord knows what would have happened if different circumstances were available. That shows you He's all knowing. But I'm just saying, because of the light, He said it's going to be more, it's going to be worse for them in the day of judgment. Because they had more light. That's what I'm saying. There's different degrees. The Bible talked about in Luke, I forget the reference, where he said some will be beat with few stripes, some with many stripes. So there's different degrees of punishment there. Now, another thing about these books here, I've lost my reference on the book. Talks about the book of life. Let me see if I can find this other reference while we're here. If y'all will, take your Bible and look at Philippians chapter 4. Because I don't think I've went over this with y'all in a while, but you need to see this one thing here. So, we've talked about the books while you're turning Philippians 4. Whenever you read verses like Psalm 69, there's a book of life, and there's a Lamb's book of life. And the Bible talked about in Revelation chapter 3 how names were blotted out of the book. So what happens is, when someone's born, their name is written in the book of life. That's over in Psalm 69, I think it's down around verse 29. And then they can get in Christ, and they can get their name in the book of life of the Lamb. But if they die and their name isn't written in this book, He can blot their name out and He can look down and say, look, I never knew you weren't there. But that's what that thing talks about. But with us, our names are written in heaven, but we've got something even better. I'm going to show you, because we are in Jesus Christ. Let me show you what this thing is, because sometimes people stumble over this. In Philippians 4, look at verse 3, it says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Now, their names are in the book of life. Why? Here's the answer. Look at Ephesians 3. Just back just a little bit. Ephesians 3 and verse number 15. We have a commonality. Things that are different and not the same, and the programs of Israel aren't the exact same as things of Christ, but we do have similarities. And the reason why is there's a thing called the family of God. So we've got names, our names are written there because of this verse. Ephesians 3 verse 15 says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So you got a commonality there. And it talks about being written in heaven. Let me tell you something. You've got something better than your name even being written in heaven. That's a good thing for them. And it's a good thing. Hey, we're as far as being in the family of God. But let me tell you something. You are Christ's body. He is your head. You're joined to Him.
That's right, brother.
And that's something. Look, He's not going to cut off members of His body. You've got something completely different in your program. Then even they got, you got a commonality as far as names being written in that book. But you've got something different in your program than they got. You won't read anywhere else in any other program about someone being sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. We've got the sealing of the Holy Spirit. We describe it as eternal security. But it's a good descriptive verse because you are eternally secure in Christ. So that's something I wanted to show you about the names there. And you can always write that Ephesians reference there to explain the Philippians chapter 4 verse 3. So back to this thing about the works. It says in Revelation 20 verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Death, all right, death and hell. So it's amazing. They die. Guess what? Their bodies go to the graves, and they're dead. But you know what? Their dead body, their soul's in hell. Their body's in the grave, or their body's separated wherever. Just like the Lord's able to give us a new body that's going to fit our celestial inhabitation, the Lord's going to be able to give them a body that's going to fit their eternal destination. And He's going to be able to, no matter where they are, see, wherever, He's going to be able to bring them up out of there, and that way they can stand there and get their sentence and then be cast in the lake of fire. Now, yeah, that's awful.
Yeah.
Man, I read this stuff right here. I'm ready to get in some good stuff. I'm ready to get this stuff rough. But look what it says. And it says, the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And your reference, I guess, is Luke 12:47-48, where some were a few stripes, some many. Now, I've had people, and I guess I need to keep studying my Bible. I've had people say, well, all right, well, if everybody's going to be cast in the lake of fire eventually that was in hell, you know, how can He design, you know, if they're all in the lake, how can He tell this one's going to have more punishment than this other one? Now, unless y'all got some ideas, one thing I do know, and I've got a few verses I think that can prove this, but one thing God can do is He can design those bodies where some of them can feel the torture more than others. Whatever that thing is, if God said it, it's so. And I just believe the book. So if he teaches in His Word that everybody's going to be cast in the lake of fire, but some of them are going to be tormented worse than others, He has got ways to make it so that some have got in a lake of fire, even though they're in the same lake, some of them are worse off than others. And He's got ways. And look, He's the one that created heaven and earth, and He's the one that's going to create the new heaven and earth. And I believe He can take care of it. And I'm just glad I'm not a part of it. Some things are so bad, I don't even want to know it. So I just know it's so, but that's in there. Now, it goes on to say, this is the second death. So, you know, the old saying, you're born once, you die twice, born twice, die once type of thing. We're regenerated, Titus says. Let me tell you something, we're new creatures. You'll never, this body will die, but you'll never have to worry about death again. This body can experience pain, but death is not going to be a painful thing to the saved believer. Because look, as soon as this body kicks off, you're going to be absent with the body, present with the Lord. Man, glory. Now you get over this thing about Revelation 21. He said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. So, you've got this thing where maybe I've got it. Oh, that thing's on there real good. So, okay. Well, I can just show y'all. So the first heaven, the first earth, the Bible said the heavens are not clean in His sight. So it's heavens. So if y'all remember me telling you about the firmament over in Genesis, He tells you He had to separate the waters above. He separated the waters from the waters, and He put a firmament there in the earth and everything, all these star clusters and all this stuff's in this thing. And there's waters up here. That's the great deep, and the face of the deep is frozen, but there's waters down here. And you got to understand that as far as from what we can tell, the lake of fire is going to be down below the universe. And He's going to throw that thing down in the garbage dump, so to speak. And all those things are going to be caught on fire, and they'll be down below everything else, way down there. But He's going to create a new heaven, singular, because there's going to be no need for heavens anymore. So the first heaven we see by sight, the second heaven we see at night, and the third heaven we see by faith. But one of these days, after all the sin problem is taken care of, the heaven is going to operate perfectly with the earth again, and you won't have heavens plural anymore, because you won't need that third heaven anymore. Because right now that third heaven is separating the glory of God and keeping it from burning everything up. So after where you're at on this chart, after this great white throne judgment we just read about, now you're going to go into the dispensation, the fullness of times. That's what Paul talked about over one of these days. In the dispensation of the fullness of time, you're going to go out into the age of ages. And man, that is not going to be no more sin, sorrow, death, all those things. And it's just going to go out and increase and increase and increase forever and ever. And we'll read about it just a little bit here. It says, let's see, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And I will see seas separate. There's going to be no need for separation. Earthly seas are going to be gone. You're going to have lakes and rivers and streams, the Bible talks about in Ezekiel and things. But you're not going to have that separation, that thing that's called a sea out there, and the earthly things picture heavenly things. So you're not going to have that sea of separation. You're not going to have seas, great big old separation bodies of water anymore. He's going to bring it all together. It says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And as we saw that thing, and you read in verse the end of verse 9, the bride is the Lamb's wife. So that New Jerusalem, there is the bride of the Lamb. And you can find that in Isaiah 61:10 and in Revelation 20. One, it talks about this whole city in verse 9 to 27. But that has to do with the inhabitation of, that's Jewish. So, verse 3 says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now you look at this thing. All the tears aren't wiped away until way out here. Because there's gonna be people weeping and stuff like that before all that. There's gonna be all, look, even though the Lord is ruling and reigning, everything isn't finished with His rule and reign right here. There are going to be people still dying in the 1,000-year millennial reign. You remember we read in Isaiah 65, that said, once someone is 100 years old, if they hadn't converted, it said the sinner being 100 years old will die. So you still got things going on out here, even though Christ is ruling, because He's still dealing with sin, and the devil's in the bottomless pit down here during this 1,000-year millennial reign. But in this period right here is whenever He deals with no more sin, no more sorrow, no more death. Why? Because once He creates a new heaven, new earth, and the sin problem's done, all the effects of sin are gone, because the wages of sin is death. So once sin is completely vanished and completely done away with, look, the reason why people cry is because of sin.
That's right.
Sin makes the effects of sin cause sorrow. No more sorrow because the sin, that's worldly sorrow. Okay, and then no more death. People die because of sin. And once He gets done and the heavens are refurbished and the heaven is refurbished and everything, after this great white throne judgment, you go out here, and that's whenever you get there and the things, it's going to be so exciting, and every one of us is saved is going to be experiencing it. Watch what it says. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. No more pain in your shoulders and knees like we were talking about. No more arthritis and stuff like that. You don't have to worry about this stuff. Get up in the morning, it takes you a while for your right foot to just get warmed up. You have to kind of, I don't know what that is. But I'm just saying, no, none of that stuff. Little things like that's not going to happen. Like you're going to have a brand new body that's going to fit forever and ever and ever. All right, it says, for the former things are passed away. Now, your reference to that, that's in prophecy, Isaiah 65:17. But you get these people, they forget references like this, and the former world that was destroyed before Noah. It wasn't remembered. So you got a lot of these people say, man, what about all these Egyptian hieroglyphics and all this stuff out there? We get to wondering about all this stuff. Look, when the Lord destroys things, He said, look, I'm going to wipe away all remembrance of this stuff. You know, you get these, if y'all ever watch those documentaries on those pyramids, I've watched a lot of them documentaries. You know, they got all these helicopters and all this type of stuff. Look, we don't know. All that stuff's guesswork. The former thing, just like the former things in the previous world all wiped away, and there's things you're never going to figure out about that previous world because God's got it that way for a reason. There's a lot of knowledge that we don't need to know. And the Lord knows what we need to know and what we don't need to know. That's why you focus on things He's revealed to you in the Bible. If people would study the secrets and the mysteries of God, like they study all the stuff that we, this conjecture, we'd have a whole lot more spiritual people, people close to the Lord. And so I've even talked to people. You ever had people, you talk to them about, you know, what all is going to be going on? They say, I wonder if we could go back and visit our house, you know, for a little while. Why would you want to go back and visit? You got a brand new, you got things out there in glory. Who cares? Look, that stuff's gone. And there's going to be a reason why you can't remember all this stuff. It's not going to be any need for it. Everything, look, behold, all things are new. You're going to see new things. So, I just thought I'd chase that rabbit. Verse 5, it says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. So, all things new. I'm going to show you a couple things. As far as the Apostle Paul, well, I'm gonna wait till I get down to verse 9. Just a minute. Let me tell you something about new. Just jot this reference down. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He said, "Behold, I make all things new." Well, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." We're part of something new right now.
Right.
A brand new creature, something that's never been before. Where you right now, your eternal life started the moment you trusted the gospel of the grace of God. You know what? Well, I'm enjoying eternity right now in a sense. Why? Because I know I'm never going to die.
Right.
Once you look at that thing, a lot of times, if y'all like me, you know, a lot of you work and stuff like that, and you spend so much time at work and stuff, and you try to balance family time and work and doing all this other thing, but you got to understand, this earth is passing by so fast. The best to do is just keep that balance, keep doing what you're doing, because look, you're serving the Lord now, and then, you know what you're going to do? You're going to pass out of this body, and you're going to keep serving Him on the other side. But if I was looking at life and saying, man, I'd be depressed if I think, is this all that there is? Just getting up, going to work in the morning, working all day, coming back home, and repeating the process. Man, that'd be kind of depressing. But once you've got the view that you know everything that you're doing now, anything you do for Christ is going to last. I mean, that's why I tell you all the time, if you work, just be the best worker there. Why? Because you're letting Christ work in and through you, and it's meaning something. It's going out there. Why? Because the Lord's being strong in you. So don't live life thinking, I wonder what I'm doing. Is this for any good? Yes, it's good. It's real good. Just keep up the good work. All right, it says over here, in verse 6, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning of the end and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst to the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Again, you know that's not your mail. I don't have to overcome anything. You've already overcome everything. You're joined to Christ.
That's right.
This is mail for Israel. Watch this first characteristic of the people that's going to be in hell, though. But the fearful. That's something. The fear of man bringeth the snare. People wonder what people think about them and stuff like that. That's of all these things you're going to read about people who are in hell. One of the first things is fearful. People say, all these people do all these things, they're going to hell. What about the fearful?
That's right.
See, they forget these. They make out like it's these big things and stuff. He, one of the first characteristics of the people who are going to be in the lake of fire, he said they're fearful. You know what? They fear everything else but God. Like Herod, he did many things and all this type of stuff. He should have feared God. The main thing is put the Lord first. In unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. Now hold on a minute. I thought the Bible said all men are liars. You know what? You may lie in life, but your sin is not connected to you.
That's right.
Otherwise, we'd all be in the lake of fire. Because every one of us are liars. All men are liars. You know what that means? These people, by the time they get to this place, these sins are connected to them. They are liars. They never got separated. Let me tell you, whenever you trusted Christ, Colossians 2, I've told you time and time again, your flesh is cut away from your soul so that the sins of your flesh do not touch your soul.
Amen.
You've got to get that thing. Man, what? People say, well, so-and-so told a lie. Yeah, if he's saved, the lie didn't connect to his soul. His flesh can suffer bad things. He's got consequences in the flesh, but not in his soul when your soul is saved. These are people who die and their sins are connected to them. And it says, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. So that what you're going to have in that new heaven there, You got all these things going on, and that New Jerusalem has to do with the bride in Israel. But let me show you what we have in this heavenly realm. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'll try to set this up with... I was hoping to get to this before time got away with me. It's hard not to chase rabbits. So, as you turn to 2 Corinthians 5, you're going to have, in this new heaven, new earth, you're going to have a new heaven with the body of Christ ruling over that new heaven there, because that's what He saved us to do. He had to reconcile the heaven that Satan messed up whenever all the angels and everything fell with him. He has to reconcile that through the body of Christ. Then the earth, you're going to read here in just a little while in Revelation 21, you get down in the 20s verses, how the nations are going to be on that earth and they're going to come in and out of that New Jerusalem. So everybody will have a part of it, but that's not our primary domain. That new Jerusalem has to do with heaven, Israel, because that's what they were promised, that's what they were looking for. Now people will come in and out of there, but the Lord has that thing straightened out. Why? Because that's His headquarters. And you're going to have a governmental system where we are the principalities and powers and the rulers and all these things in the high places now. Why? Because the devil usurped that thing and the Lord cast him down by this time, and we're placed up there, and you've got the mind of Christ, and now the heaven and the earth is in operation with the body of Christ in the heaven, and then you got Israel with that new Jerusalem, and then you got the Gentiles in the earth, and all of it works together as the increase goes on forever and ever and ever. So you look at 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, it says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, speaking of the body, and house not made with hands, eternal. Where at? In the heavens. Because that heavenly realm, that heavenly kingdom that Paul talks about, that's where you're going to rule and reign from. So you've got something greater, way greater. Some people think that, well, hold on a minute, you're minimizing what we're able to do. Y'all, the body of Christ has got something way more than you ever could imagine. That talks about crowns and things like that. Crowns, plural. You've got a rulership out there, this vast, it's so vast that your mind cannot grasp it. And also look at Ephesians 2, because I want you to see not only what they have, what some of the things on what you have. Ephesians 2 and verse 6 says, it's talking about us. Well, I'll read some of my favorite verses while you're turning there. It says in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. It says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together. We're at in heavenly places in Christ. Why? Watch what it says in verse 7, speaking of what we're reading about. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
Right.
In the heavenlies. Man, isn't that wonderful? You're going to have a rulership out there, y'all, because God is going to have everything clean and everything that sin has messed up as far as that workmanship with the heaven and earth is going to all be reconciled. And everything's going to continue out like it was supposed to. And y'all, as far as a preacher being able to explain all that stuff and how wonderful it's going to be, heaven is going to be so wonderful. That this earth is so sin cursed and so messed up that once you get out there, you're going to have a celestial body to be able to enjoy it all. You can't take it all in.
That's right,
I mean, it's just we can read these things and you see that governmental setup there. But I just want you to know, sometimes you start thinking about, you know, the Bible talks about not having your mind on the things of the earth, but the things which are in heaven. If the body of Christ would remember and recognize where you're going one day, it would help you so much not to worry about some of these things. These things that go on the earth are so petty. These people fight, and they fight these wars, and they do all this stuff that they're doing, and they launder their money and do all that stuff. They got all that stuff. Don't bother me none. Why? Because if this is their home, they're treating it like it's their home. This is not our home.
Amen.
Your home is in the heaven.
That's right.
And you're going to be up there, man, with a celestial body, and throughout eternity. Man, I'm setting my mind on those things. And that'll help you. I hope it'll help you a little bit. Brother Mike.